Moncrief on News Talk.
This year, Wimbledon turned to AI for making line calls and other sorts of judgments. And surprise, surprise, it's been making some mistakes. Elaine Burke is the host of the For Tech's Sake podcast. Afternoon, Elaine.
Good afternoon.
So the mistakes, it's kind of a version of Hawkeye they're using there. Would that be correct?
Yeah, so Hawkeye is one of these electronic line calling providers, and it's the one that the organisers at Wimbledon use. And even like the concept of electronic line calling has been around for a really long time, and this is just the next evolution. So Hawkeye was an earlier evolution that did use what's called computer vision technology, which is a form of AI to do its calls. And now this is a new version that they're using that has 10 cameras around the court and has essentially replaced what were once people who monitored the lines there.
Yeah. Now, because you can see how, you know, if your ChatGPT can get things wrong because it's complex information, but this is just really an object hitting the ground on either side of a line. Why can't it get that right?
So what has happened in this Wimbledon tournament, which is the first tournament where they're using this version that replaces the line umpires, is in one case, the system was switched off. So for half...
Well, yeah, that's a pretty...
Yeah, your tech can't work if it's not turned on. So that's phase one. So half of the court was basically unmonitored during that match with Pavlyuchenkova and... I'm not a tennis fan.
Neither am I. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce names. Yeah, and the other one, is good enough.
So that was the issue there. So it actually wasn't calling. I think for three calls, it wasn't activated. But it was the call that was blatantly out that made people realise that it wasn't on. So two calls went completely unnoticed as missed. But the third call, which everyone watching at home could see, it was, I mean, even me, the non-tennis fan, could see it was out. So that was switched off. And the chair umpire in that case decided to not trust his own eyes or the video technology that was recording everything, and instead asked for them to replay the point, which in the end didn't steal the game away from Pavlyuchenkova, but it could have. So that could have been a really egregious error there. But then in a men's quarterfinal clash, it was because of the system hadn't recognised that a serve was taking place and thought that a rally that was ongoing after a serve identified that as a serve. So it made the wrong call. It called a fault instead of out. And that was because it had observed that the ball boy or girl was still crossing the net at the very, very start of the serve. I think like just their leg was still in front of the net. Mm. So it didn't acknowledge through its computer vision, it expects to see certain behaviors and monitor that way. So it didn't acknowledge that a serve had begun because the ball boy or girl was still in view, but it had begun. So it was incorrectly seeing a rally as a serve. And that's where you get an incorrection there. So in one case, it was the technology made a mistake. And in one case, it was the technology wasn't even on.
Yeah, that's but human error.
In all of these cases, what you have is an over-reliance on technology. And this happens sometimes where people are sold technology systems as this panacea and they are perfect, they are infallible and they solve all of your problems. But that's not true. And with any kind of implementation, you have to account for the same way. Like they actually said they introduced these systems to remove the possibility of human error because human line umpires will also make mistakes. But they don't seem to acknowledge sometimes when they implement systems like this. Yes, and the technology too can also make mistakes. And you have to account for that in your systems and in your policies. And I think what the Russian player who did almost have like a really bad time of it and nearly lost her match because of it, she has said that what she would like to see is that the umpires can challenge the calls, so the players can challenge the calls, and that they can use video replays if a challenge is made because the systems can fail.
Mm. But that kind of makes the AI a bit redundant if you still need human oversight because, you know, it's of the possibility of making mistakes. What's the point of it then?
Well, I mean, a lot of the current AI systems that are being talked about, they talk about this concept of human in the loop. They are meant to be assistive. They are not necessarily meant to take over and completely supplant your human expertise. And I think human in the loop actually maybe isn't the right term because it sidelines your role. And it also means that any human with this technology can do the job. And maybe that's not the case either. What we probably should be championing is this idea of expert in command, because there is still a chair umpire there in this system. And he apparently told the player that he saw the ball was out. I mean, like I said, everyone could see that this ball was out. But instead of overruling a system that wasn't even live at the time, wasn't even on, he opted to replay the point because that's what the rule book advised that he could do. And that's just not the way to play this stuff.
If somebody bought a car in the morning, and every now and you know, a particular brand of car, so we won't mention a brand, but every now and again a wheel fell off and the manufacturer of the brand said, well, you know, it's not perfect, didn't guarantee it was, no one would buy it. So why are people buying these systems and pushing them but storing them when they don't really work 100% of the time because they're paying all this money on the basis that they do work, that they're better than humans?
It's such a good point, John. And actually, I think what you're getting to there is something that I like to talk about a lot. There's the idea of 99% accuracy sounds brilliant until, say, you are watching a film and one in every 100 words in the subtitles are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, 99% accuracy isn't actually good enough, because that is a scenario where it's possible to attain 100% accuracy. Perfection isn't always possible, but it is in that case. And the only way you're going to get that is by having a human being who is experienced in editing subtitles and captioning to fix the errors that will be introduced by the AI. It will still speed up your process. It will definitely mean that you need less hours of human work involved in getting to the point of perfection, but you aren't getting there with just the AI.
Yeah, but could it be that they're bringing these products to market and they haven't sufficiently trained them to do their job? Because you'd think AI would think there might be the occasional leg in front of a net, for instance.
And that's the thing, like, they're often these systems, if they are more modern systems, they're built on a concept of machine learning. And usually that is based on a continuous process that it actually now will have learned from that men's quarterfinal match at Wimbledon, that this might happen sometimes and has to now account for that. Kind of like, you know, human beings might train and learn on the job. So, yeah, like they can be built and improved upon, but they will be sold, and they will be sold to have capabilities that they sort of have quite enthusiastically, whether they can achieve that or not. And I think there's a lot, like, what you're kind of battling against here with AI technologies in general is this idea that what you're being sold could be snake oil. It could be completely untrue, or it could be an exaggerated version of what its capabilities actually are.
Elaine Burke is the host of the For Tech's Sake podcast. Elaine, thanks a million.
Thanks so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.